この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはトップ10カウントダウンです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a top 10 countdown on Japan Top
10. Welcome to another episode of Japan Top 10. Happy July, everyone. This is your host Kirby.
And this is Christine.
This is episode number 438. We have a lot of great new songs for you this month, so sit back, relax, and enjoy this month's countdown.
Now, just before we get into our music, we have a quick announcement for everyone. So our annual listener survey is out, so please take 5 minutes to let us know what you think about our podcast, and you can win a free $100 US dollars gift card to the retailer of your choice. See our website at jtop10.jp/survey for more details.
And do you want to join our team? We currently have an opening for an audio editor, content distributor, and urgently looking for someone to help us with this position. Join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for details.
All right, well, without further ado, let's get straight into our first song. First up, at number 10, we have a new song by Masaki Suda, Mado Ito.
Number 10.
Yeah.
Taisho Sugo, or professionally known as Masaki Suda, is a Japanese actor and singer. And on June 7th, Suda celebrated 5 years since making his debut as an artist. And at this time, he has announced 5 parts of his 5-year anniversary project, the first part being the digital release of NTV's News Zero theme song, Mado Ito, along with its music video.
Von D, who wrote and composed Mado Ito, was also in charge of its music video. It portrays Suda as a man who turns into a pop star in his dream. And personally, the music video is weird, kind of like a dream style sequence, since it's a dream, right? And it really, and the music has the Von D funky music style.
Yeah, I agree. And not only that, for whatever reason, the music really just, it just gives me this throwback and nostalgic vibe. And I don't know if it's because Masaki Suda's voice is, his tonal quality is actually very similar to a singer that my mom would always play on the car when I was young. Like, I don't know if this is the reason why, but yeah, the music video I thought was very intriguing. And the song itself, to me, just sounds very, it just sounds like throwback.
Like one of those 80s
city. Yeah, exactly, songs. Exactly, like an 80s vibe. At this point, I did grow up listening to songs from the 80s because of my parents' influence, so that may be why it sounds like throwback to me. But yes, I agree, it definitely has this 80s vibe to the song.
Okay, and dropping 4 spots to number 9, we have Hiwa Mata Noboru Kara, The Sun Will Rise Again, from Ryokuo Shoko Shakai.
Number 9. Hiwa Mata Noboru Kara, Kanashiku.
聞こえるよ。それでも声が聞きたいんだ。
Ryoku Shoko Sakai is a pop rock band from Aichi, formed in 2012. They performed their first live on July 4, 2012. The band consists of Nagaya Haruko, vocalist and guitarist, and Kobayashi Issei, the guitarist and chorus, Anami Shingo, the bassist and chorus, and Pepe, keyboardist and chorus.
Ryoku Shoko Sakai's new song, Hi wa mata noboru kara, has been selected as the theme song for the movie Crayon Shinchan Mononoke Ninja Jinfuden, released on April 22nd. Personally, I want to say Nagaya Haruko-san, or the vocalist of Ryokushaka, this band, is probably one of my favorite female Japanese vocalists out there right now. I really like her voice, how powerful and emotional it is. And I personally also just really like this song.
As for the lyrics of the song, it's kind of like a happy and full of hope and joy. It makes me warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, it is a very hopeful song. I mean, I feel like even from the title, Hi wa mata noboru kara, like, the sun will rise again. The image is definitely a very warm and hopeful one.
I saw the music video on their YouTube channel, and the music video, well, they were playing on the rooftop or something, and then the vocalist is falling for the most part of the song. It reminds me of...
Oh, really?
It reminds me of the music video of Lark and Shell. Dive to Blue, where the man is falling from the building. So it's kind of a, maybe some kind of a trope or something, but it's a nice visual.
That's hilarious, because I actually listened to this song only on a music streaming platform, so I actually have not seen that music video yet, but I'll make sure to check it out after our podcast today.
To the listeners, most of the songs, or if not all in this podcast, have music videos on their official YouTube channel. And some even have English captions. So you might enjoy them.
Yeah, definitely. Feel free to check out not just their music, but also their music video. All right, and up next, in number 8, we have a new song by Miley, Walkin' in My Lane.
Number 8. I'm
Millay is a Japanese singer-songwriter who spent her youth in Canada and is currently residing in Tokyo to pursue her musical career, which she started in 2018. The song served as the theme song for the Japanese drama Involvement in Family Affairs and was Millay's first CD single.
Millay has previously released multiple promotional singles and two digital singles, an uncommon move in Japan as physical CD copies are the most popular music format in the country.
So personally for me, Millay is actually another female vocalist that I really like in the current Japanese music scene. It's funny because this countdown really consists of so many female vocalists, and all of them happen to be female vocalists that I really admire, and Millay is 100% one of them. I personally really like the atmosphere and lyrics to this song, and you know, like we mentioned earlier, because Millay spent her youth in Canada, so you know, a lot of her, I don't know, her there's just a, I feel like there is a Western touch to her music style. Although I don't know how much of that is just, you know, me feeling like she has just really good English pronunciation. I actually didn't realize Millay spent her youth in Canada before, and I just thought, oh wow, like I kind of assumed that she was near native, if not native, based on, you know, some of the songs that I've heard from her. But yeah, I learned through this podcast that she actually grew up in Canada.
The song has lots of English lyrics, as
yeah, right?
some artists also do, right?
Yeah, for sure. But I want to say it's the way that she sings it, and like not just her, it's not just her pronunciation, which is obviously really good, but it's also the way that she goes about singing these English lyrics that to me feel like there's a Western touch to it. It's more in the style than the linguistic aspect of it, but again, this might just be me.
Going through the style of the song and the music video, I think this is more of a, the target audience is the more the younger 20s people, mm-hmm. because it's more of like, you know, I want to do what I want to do, have fun, etc., live with my friends. So yeah. It's quite right in that demographic.
Right. I feel like this is a song that, not that I don't enjoy it right now, but I feel like this is a song that I would definitely really enjoy if I was like a middle schooler, just because of, you know, the overall atmosphere of the song, the beat, and also how the song was arranged.
And going down three spots to number 7, we have Kigeki, or Comedy, from Gen Hoshino.
Number 7.
Again. して普通のふりをして気づいた誰か決めつけた私の光はただここにあったあの日ほどけた淡い呪いに心からのさよならを顔を上げてみろか咲き誇る花々こんな綺麗なんだって君と話したかったんだどんな日も君といる奇跡を命つなぐキッチンで伝えきれないままでふざけた生活
Ken Hoshino is a Japanese singer-songwriter, musician, actor, and writer born in Warabi, Saitama, Japan. Hoshino said that he was initially an actor but leaning more towards music is what propelled his showbiz career.
Kigeki is the ending theme for the anime Spy Family, which actually only just finished airing a couple of weeks ago. So for those of you who haven't seen it, feel free to check it out. But the story is about how a spy needs to create a pseudo family, if you will, for his mission. And this family is consist of the spy himself and an assassin and a young girl who is actually a psychic, but none of them really know each other's true identity, but live together under a roof. And the story starts from there and evolves with the plotline of how these three people learn to live together as a family for the sake of the spy's mission.
And I guess that applies to me because I haven't seen Spy Family yet.
You definitely should. It has finished, well, at least the first cool finished airing, so this is a good time to catch up before the second cool comes in October.
And regarding the song, it's very fun and easy to listen to. The lyrics remind you of being with your loved one, let's say the family, and appreciating them in even the smallest gestures, like holding hands while walking home or telling stories to each other, you know, the little things.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I like this one since you know, I'm married and you know, you have to cherish your partner every day and you know, you see them every day and you have to express your gratitude in even the smallest things. So it reminds me of that every day after work, you ask the person, how was your day, etc. And did you have fun? What shall we eat? That's the most difficult question. What are we having for dinner? And then the music video shows, you know, again Hoshino with two fluffy alien-like creatures that lives with him. It's just fun to watch. So it's a very happy and wholesome song and music video.
Yeah, it's really interesting hearing from your perspective because obviously you haven't seen this anime and I have. Like, I knew the anime before I listen to the full song, basically. So yeah, like a lot of, you know, it's super interesting to me that this song reminds you of all of these loving moments, because essentially each part of the song does correlate, in my mind at least, to a scene in the anime. And in general, that's how the anime made me feel. Like, I felt very warm. And even though, you know, they are a pseudo family, but, you know, like, to they by the end of the first season, they're really starting to act like real family. And I think that's that wasn't so much of a spoiler as it is, like, you know, kind of what it makes you feel. Like, you would feel like they're a real family. And, yeah, and these endearing moments, Hoshino Gen-san just captures so well in his song. And I also really like the pastel tone of the music video. Like, aside from all the little monsters that show up in his music video for Kigeki, I also like the colors in there because they are also very warm.
And speaking of those little things and telling stories, do you want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp. Find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
And at number 6, we have another new song, Sukida by YOASOBI.
Number 6.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
YOASOBI is a Japanese music super duo formed by Sony Music Entertainment Japan, and the group is composed of the Vocaloid producer Ayase and the singer-songwriter Ikura.
Skida was inspired by the story Hikari no Tane, or The Seed of Light, by Eto Mori, included in the collection Hajimete no For the First Time. The tale comes with a subtitle that roughly translates to The Story to Read When You Tell Someone You Like Them for the First Time.
The song is about a high school girl who has had a crush on her childhood friend for over 10 years. It's interesting because, you know, before you look into the lyrics, you would assume that it's a lighthearted song just about liking someone. But when you actually read the lyrics, it really is bittersweet because there's a lot of it just hints at this unrequited love, because evidently the girl had confessed to the guy multiple times and wanting to redo the first confession that they've ever made to the person that she has had a crush on.
Well, at least, even though it's quite sad, it's not too depressing, but...
Right, it's not depressing, but it's definitely not super lighthearted, you know? Like, yeah. it's a crush for... She's liked the guy for over 10 years.
Well, yeah, but in my perspective, like, it's that part of your life. I think It's the target is like the young ones, you know, like teens to 20s. But
great, but 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time. Like, yeah, it's one thing, you know.
For me, the depressing part is the person kind of stuck with that person for 10 years. But I've heard of stories where I know someone who had a high school crush and then eventually got married to that person. So, you know, it happens.
High school sweethearts.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Right, but high school... See, I feel like this discussion is derailed from music, but I wanted to make this point. I feel like it's one thing for you to get together with someone in high school and then eventually get married, because that is 10 years of your life from high school. But to my understanding, this is 10 years up until high school. So she's liked the guy for over 10 years. You know, this would include from primary school to middle school and then eventually to high school. And I feel like this spans over different periods of your life that is so important. And yeah, I think this is the reason why I can't say that this song is super lighthearted, even though the melody is. YOASOBI always does this with their songs. There's always, you know, a backstory to their song, but obviously because Ikura's voice is very refreshing and the song is generally, you know, like light and seemingly lighthearted, but you really have to read into the lyrics, in my opinion, for YOASOBI's songs.
Maybe that's why they have a large following from the younger audience. So they're really targeting that one because the voice kind of like sticks with that demographic.
Yeah, but you know, Ikura, actually, her voice, I personally also really like. I know I say this for every single female artist that has showed up on, that have come to pass on this countdown right now, but I mean it, and that was the reason why I had mentioned earlier that I thought it was hilarious, because, you know, if you asked me which female artist that I really like that has debuted within the last couple of years, every single female artist on today's top 10 countdown is on my list. And yeah, Ikura's voice is just so refreshing. She's like a breath of fresh air, in my opinion, with her voice quality And I always enjoy digging into the backstory of Yoasobi's songs because it's always based on some kind of a story. Before we move on to the next song, we just have another quick announcement. Are you an indie Japanese music artist? If you create Japanese music and want some exposure, please feel free to get in touch with our music director by sending them an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That would be nola@jtop10.jp. Along with the song you would like us to feature on the podcast.
We have a new song at number 5, Habit by Sekai no Owari.
Number 5.
何でも何でも分類区別ジャンル分けしたがる人はなぜか分類したがる習性があるとかないとかこの世の中に種類の人間がいるとか言う君たちが標的も持ってるやつと持ってないやつとかちゃんとやるやつをやってないやつとか陰キャ陽キャ君らは分類しないとどうにも落ち着かない気づかない本能の外側を覗いてかない気分が乗らないつまりそれはそんなシンプルじゃない もっと曖昧で繊細で不明瞭な何か例えば持ってるのに出せないやつやってるのにいけないやつ持ってるのに悟った振りして透かしてる血に不安になってたりするやつ所詮あんたはギフテッド私は普通の主婦テストそれはいいでしょう素晴らしいんでしょう使うもの証明の完成なんじゃない夢を持ってなんて言ってないそんな無責任になりはしないただその修正に食われないでそんなハビットステルたび見えてくる君の価値俺たちだって動物こういうのって好物ここまで言われたらと普通腹の底から好物普通と俺たちだって動物上にもチュールオリジナルな習性自分で自分を分類するなよ壊してみせるよそのバッハビ言っちゃうけど説教するってぶっちゃけ快楽酒の魚にすりゃもう傑作って持って君も進む企画になれそれそれでウィンウィンじゃんこりゃこれで残念じゃんそもそもそれって君次第だしその後なんか俺興味ないわけこの先君はどうしたいって人に問われることしたい終わりじゃないと信じたいけどそうじゃなきゃかなり非常事態君たちがその分類された普通の箱でくすぶってるからさ 俺は人生維持モードずっとそこで眠ってて荒さ俺はそもそもスペックが低いだからあがいてもがいて醜く吠えた俺のあの頃を分類したら誰の目から見ても明らかすぐ世の中彼だとか愛だとか運だとか縁だとかなぜにもして片付けちゃうの俺たちはもっと曖昧で複雑で明瞭な
Sekai no Owari, literally translated End of the World, is a Japanese pop band originating from Tokyo. The band was formed in 2005 and has four members: Nakajin, Fukase, Saori, and DJ Love.
The band has released the music video for Habit, an upbeat track that was specially written as the theme song for the live-action movie Holic.
There has also been an animated movie in 2005, the Holic Midsummer Night's Dream. And this 2022, there will be a film that marks the first live-action film adaptation for Holic.
You know, personally, I have to say, based on the new songs from our countdown this month, this might be my personal number one. I just like everything about this song. You know, from the melody to the beat and to the lyrics, really just everything. I actually heard this song first not from Sekai no Owari, the band itself, but from a cover that was done by, I think it was the Japanese YouTuber Suma or Samurai and Crystal K. And yeah, I just fell in love with this song.
The lyrics of the song convey the message that we humans have the natural urge to discriminate other people or something like that, and we should break that habit. Unlike, you know, animals that don't really have that much intelligence to discriminate other species. So they say, like, we're animals too, so let's just remove the bad habit of, you know, categorizing people or something like that. It's nice. The message is great, and the music video is, you know, colorful, lots of dancing too.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's, I don't know, it's just, I can appreciate the lyrics and the meaning behind the song, but musically, this song also just grabbed my attention from the first section.
Don't you like the dancing? They dance a lot in the music video.
I mean, well, again, I listened to the song because I told you, right? I listened to the song first as a YouTube cover. So the YouTube cover obviously was not of the original music video. And from there on, I transferred to the music platform.
A music streaming platform.
I am evidently missing out on some music videos if, you know, the original song is not the first one that I happen to come across, but I will remember to check out the music video for this particular song as well. And at number four, moving down from three spots from the last time, we have Matsuri by Fujikaze.
Number four.
Yeah. 愛しか感じたくもない
Matsuri, Matsuri, 毎日としき何かの Matsuri, Matsuri, あれもこれもが大当たり、比べるものは何もない。
激しく泣いたせいで君が派手に笑ったせいで夏の暑さ体を動かして冬の厳しさ骨身に染みたまったいらに生きられたらまっすぐにそこへ行けたかなっしゃ今なら遅くはねえからっしゃっしゃっしゃっしゃっしゃ死にゆくもの全てが同時の出来事秋祭り冬休み皆抱きしめたら踊りなさえなさえな祭り祭り毎日としき何にかの祭り祭りあれもこれもがありがたし苦しむことは何もない
Fujikaze is a Japanese singer-songwriter raised in Satosho, Okayama, in Japan, and is a musician under the Universal Sigma label.
Matsuri is the lead single from Fujikaze's second studio album, Love All, Serve All, which was released on March 23, 2022.
The song was digitally released earlier this year on March 20th, prior to the album's release, and it was released alongside the music video. Now this is a music video that I had actually seen for from our top 10 countdown, and I have to say Matsuri embodies the music video period.
I saw the music video also. Although I know there's a cultural significance with Japanese people celebrating their festivals, but my image of Japanese festivals wasn't really much in the music video. But what
right,
I noticed
right.
in the music video was this like caretaker dude trying to like usher the visitors of a park and then hey, let's dance or something like that.
So, no, you're right. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I guess our impression of Japanese omatsuri are probably more like Japanese style type omatsuri, whereas I feel like for this music video it really is more just matsuri as in like a celebration, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he also mentioned something like along the lines of, you know, every like summer festival and then like a winter vacation or something, so it's more of like a relaxation and doing whatever you want, you know, like celebrating.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, what better time to listen to Matsuri when it is summer for those of us that reside in the northern hemisphere? Is that right? Oh my God, I want to pretend like I know geography, but alas, I don't. So I think we reside in the northern hemisphere. If I got this wrong or flipped, I apologize in advance.
Well, what about the northern hemisphere?
Oh no, I wasn't sure if, like, are we in the northern hemisphere?
You live in Canada, right?
I do live in Canada.
Yeah, it's
yes.
in the north. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad that I got this right. I mean, I was just laughing because I'm speaking as if I know geography and it's one of my weakest subjects. So
okay.
That's why I was like, I feel like we live in the northern hemisphere, but if I got this flipped somehow, I apologize.
Yeah, but as you mentioned, like you're in Canada, so summer there is not really that hot compared to like you were in Taiwan, right?
You're right. Yeah,
and
I was in Taiwan last
really
summer.
Hot.
Yeah, summer in Taiwan last year? No, the year previous. Oh my God, time is going by so fast. Yes, definitely summer in Taiwan is a very different story to summer in Canada. I would say summer in Canada is the best, at least for those of us that live in the eastern regions of Canada. Summer is one of the best seasons of the year, if not the best season, because it's not too cold and, you know, there's a lot of things happening with festivals, interestingly enough, matsuri, and yeah.
And here in my side, in the Philippines, you know, summer...
Oh, it must be really hot, is it?
Yeah, summer is the only time when festivals are more extravagant because festivals don't usually come on the other times of the year. Not generally, or like concerts and parties, etc. Because...
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, in this tropical region, it's either it's summer or it's raining. So if you... Let's say, and from March to end of May, that's the summer season. So we have lots of, you would go to the beach, would have a party. Sometimes some regions have festivals. And then after June, sometimes, well, most of the time it will rain. So that's why you don't usually go out. But, you know, if you're lucky, it's also sunny in other times of the year.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean, I guess at least on the bright side, you never have to put up with ridiculously cold weather.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
if it's a plus.
So I guess going back, so yeah, festivals are fun, yeah, especially Japan. Since Japan has like festivals for different cities and prefectures all over the year, right?
Yeah, yeah. I always have a lot of respect for how much the Japanese people respect their culture. And you can definitely see that from the numerous festivals that they celebrate throughout the year.
And now going down one spot to number three, we have Mixed Nuts from Official Hige Dandism.
Number three.
Shimerasemasu yori.
official Hige Dandism is a Japanese pop band formed in Shimane, Japan, by Satoshi Fujihara on vocals, Daisuke Ozasa on lead guitar, Makoto Narazaki on bass, and Masaki Matsura on drums.
The band released their second single, Pretender, which ranked at number 3 on the year-end chart of Billboard Japan Hot 100 in 2019. And Mixed Nuts, like Kigeki that we listened to previously, is a theme song for the anime Spy Family, and it is the opening theme.
Now, this song is a very wholesome song with the message that, yeah, life is like a bag of mixed nuts. I would say it's just like, you know, the box of chocolates in Forrest Gump. You'll never know what you're gonna get. So it's kind of
I mean, after you watch Spy Family, which I hope you will understand why it's called Mixed Nuts, maybe more. Like what it's maybe like insinuating, but you're definitely right. I agree with that take. And I feel like the last countdown, I spent so much time talking about how much I like this song and my love for this song has not changed. The musical aspect to this song, I feel like we can't just ignore and not talk about, because I feel like it's so well written musically as well. And I totally fell down a rabbit hole on YouTube where I just listened to covers of this song, like with all instruments, you know, whether it be drums, the piano, or just singing covers. Yeah, it's a great song.
And the music video is like more of a mystery adventure inside the like a hotel where they act on the different like adventures and misadventures. You have to watch the music video to enjoy it.
Yes, this I agree. The music video definitely has a storyline and a story plot there, and I think you should enjoy it with the music.
And speaking of extra songs and music, do you want to hear some extra songs in this episode? Join our Patreon club and become a Patreon star or Patreon Platinum donor to get some extra songs on this episode. See full details on our site at jtop10.jp/club.
And at number 2, we have a new song, Hatsukoi ga Naiteiru, My First Love is Crying, by A I Myeong.
Number 2.
Bye.
Aimyon is a Japanese singer and songwriter who was influenced by her grandmother and father in terms of her musical career. She made her indie debut with the single Anata Kaibo Junai Ka, a release available only at Tower Records, which was in the Oricon Indies Top 10 chart.
On December 31, 2018, Aimyon made her first appearance on the 69th edition of NHK's Kohaku Uta Gassen, Japan's prestigious New Year's Eve music program, and performed her song Marigold.
And Aimyon completes my list of what I mentioned just now when I said that this top 10 countdown just consists of, you know, new and young female artists that I really like. Aimyon is definitely another one of them. I think it's the fact that Aimyon's voice is actually on the lower end, which you don't find very often in Japanese music, I feel. The quality of her voice and the tone of her voice, I personally really like. And it definitely looks like we're going on some kind of love theme here. You know, first we have Sukida from YOASOBI earlier, and now we have Hatsukoi ga Naiteiru, My First Love is Crying. So it's summer, and you know, the song is definitely, to me at least, I feel like it's one of those bittersweet type songs.
And, you know, and also you can watch the music video on YouTube. I was watching earlier, and the music video shows Aimyon in the yakiniku restaurant, and the whole scene is just her eating and crying. And
oh my god. Okay, well, see, if I had watched the music video like you, instead of just listening to songs like I usually do, I would have caught on to maybe more themes that, or more message that Aimyon's trying to convey with this song.
So in the video, she's just literally eating and crying in a yakiniku restaurant, and then nobody just, you know, minds her. So my question to you is, have you seen someone just crying in public and just going about their business and then, you know, just like eating or something?
Oh my god. I have. But, you know, obviously they're not just eating. So it's funny because I graduated from a pretty strict school in a university that has a lot of work, or is known to give a lot of work to students in Canada. I graduated from McGill, and I've literally seen people come out of the library walking and crying, and nobody thought it was abnormal. Like, we kind of, wow, just went, people kind of, you know, just walked, kept going. And yeah, I remember that scene so well, just in my head, and I was thinking, oh my god, I don't, you know, like for a second I was like, I don't know, does she need comfort? What she need? But no, like the girl that I saw really was just going about her day, and you know, I guess she had a lot of stress from studying, I would assume, leaving the library. But yeah, so when you asked whether I've seen someone just crying and going about, you know, what they're doing, this is what it reminded me of. And I have, and this is probably the only instance that I can recall, at least, where I've seen someone cry and, you know, is doing other things, or seem like everything is not, or seem like everything, you know, there's nothing that they're changing about what they would do, even if they weren't crying.
Well, yeah, aside from, you know, school-related crying, I've seen those too also, especially when you get your grades.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah. And but in my experience, yeah, it's like when I was in you know, commuting home, and then I was riding this, you know, this transport, and then this person across me is just, you know, just crying or something. And then I was thinking, wow, this looks like a scene from a movie, you know, like this person is crying and then looking out the window, etc. So, you know,
oh my god, that would make a good music video.
Yeah. Just like Aimyon, you know, like eating and crying.
Yeah.
So and I saw the music video, you know, like I mean just doing it on the rice and then just drinking beer, and then she can't drink the beer because she's crying, you know. it's a sad video, but you know, the lyrics, it's more of really sad, but it's more of a how do I say, it's like a heartbreak or a breakup or something like that. And then I think the expression is like, you know, this happened after that, and then she's singing it in her head, and then she's just eating and crying. So
right,
yeah, it's more of like, you know, like a heartbreak song or something.
I mean, I personally would think it's like, from I guess from my perspective, the reason why I think it's bittersweet is because I can kind of trace back and understand, you know, a lot of the sentiments that Aimyeon put in the lyrics. But obviously, without that insight into the music video where she's just crying, I would have had a very different interpretation of the song. And I actually find this really interesting, how you can interpret a song differently if you first listen to it, or if you listen to it with the music video, versus just, you know, listening to it only through, like, from sound only, like on a music streaming platform.
And maybe just to sound, you know, skeptical, because in the music video, you know, there's all of these like salarymen and then just not minding her, and then she's there in the middle eating in the yakiniku restaurant and then crying and just eating the rice and whatever, and then cooking the meat. And then you can really see in the end, so the lights go dim and then just light on her. But you can really see her t-shirt with a big gap sign. So I was thinking, wow, is this some kind of is she partnering with Gap, or she just wore that? And, you know, you don't do that unintentionally, right? And then
yes,
so I started googling, and then I didn't see an official statement saying that it's a partnership with Gap, but there are people in some online sites saying, "Ah, I'm selling this Gap t-shirt that Aimyeon wears in this music video."
I saw the two different people. Effect, the advertisement effect is there.
Yeah.
Even if there was no release.
Yeah, so
of any kind of statement.
Intentional or not, so it's fine, you know. The music video brought the message through. Yeah. And we have our number one song on this podcast. It's M87 by Kenshi Yonezu.
Number one. Haruka sora no hoshi ga hidoku kagayaite mieta kara boku wa furue nagara sono hikari wo oikaketa wareta kagami no naka itsuka no jibun wo mitsumete ta yoku naritakatta nani mo kamo ni akogarete ta kimi wa kaze ni fukarete hirugaeru moshi ni age nagaku mijikai tabi wo yoku toi hi no omokage
Kimi no
J-pop singer, songwriter, and music producer Kenshi Yonezu released the new single M87, the theme song for the new Shin Ultraman, or the new Ultraman film. The song ranked number 1 on the Billboard Japan Hot 100 and number 69 on the Billboard Global 200.
Kenshi Yonezu is no stranger to breaking records, and a lot of his past music has actually made their way on top musical charts. For instance, his work Lemon has had over 740 million views, and the number is continuing to grow today as he sets new records for himself with every new album that he releases. And M87, unsurprisingly, is the number one spot for our top 10 countdown this month.
And Kenshi Yonezu is also no stranger from our Japan top 10 countdown, since he has songs in the Japan top 10 countdown, especially in number one.
Absolutely. And I actually, one of the episodes I had with Haru, we actually introduced Kenshi Yonezu as an artist, and the episode was full of his songs. But yeah, I, you know, even from my perspective, Kenshi Yonezu's songs really just never disappoint. He, you know, I feel like he gets everything right. And this right, I don't mean right in a standard, in a typical standard, but, you know, for all of his work, I feel like I can always appreciate their lyrics, their musical arrangements, and their melody. And for me, I really like how he layered the different instruments in this song, particularly with the arrangements that he made, he or his team made. And yeah, really, to me, his work is always a work of art.
And speaking of the music, the music is actually for the Ultraman movie, right? But although
yes,
you don't mention it in the song, but the song musically is a shonen theme song, but the melody or the arrangement is more like an R&B, as like how Kenshi Yonezu might do.
Mm-hmm.
Some visual effects done in the music video to see, you know, Kenshi Yonezu walking around town or something.
I mean, it's very much like his other music videos, no? Like, I feel like this is the theme and style of Kenshi Yonezu's video, music video.
I've been reading about M87.
Mm-hmm.
That's the... Now, let me go on a little... This will come back to Ultraman, I promise. So,
okay.
M87, according to Wikipedia, is a supergiant elliptical galaxy with several trillion stars in the constellation Virgo. So it's up there. So it's very, very far away. The song M87 technically refers to that, but in the original script, Ultraman came from M78, but there was some sort of error, because it was supposedly M87 and then it became M78. So in the script, mm-hmm. it's M78. And then in the song, this song, since it's Kenshi Yonezu and then it's for Ultraman and it's M87, so it's trying to like do a correction or something.
Oh my God.
So to say that, no, it's M87. So correct us if we're wrong, but you know, that's how I read it. So since the title of the song is M87, and you know, they're trying to do this like historical, you know, correction, that,
you know,
he came
M87. You know, I would not be surprised at all, because I feel like all of Kenshi Yonezu's music is just very well thought out. So yeah, this is such an interesting background on the title of the song.
Hideaki Anno is the director of Ultraman, director of Shin Ultraman. You know, Hideaki Anno from Evangelion.
Mm-hmm.
He confirmed with Kenshi Yonezu about the M87, so he's also aware of the title.
Oh my God, that is so cool.
So I think it's more of like a very deep cut for hardcore Ultraman fans, I think. It's a cool thing for the fans.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not very familiar with the Ultraman series, so I wasn't aware of the background, but yeah, this definitely sounds like Kenji Yonezu had planned this and had wrote the song in that way to reflect the piece, the information that you just shared. That's super interesting. And now we have an indie spotlight for you. The song is 2050 by Ridgeback, released in 2020. Ridgeback is a three-piece band that creates a unique worldview with heavy grunge sounds, gloomy vocals, and dramatic song development.
The band members consist of Yuki Kimura on guitar and vocals, Hiroki Okita on bass and vocals, and Chika Motohashi on drums and vocals. 2050 is the seventh song on their Take Two. 2050 is the seventh song on their third album, Purposeless Impulse, which released on winter 2020.
You know, what really captured my attention with this song, funnily enough, as someone who, you know, sometimes don't watch music videos, is the music video. Like, while I was listening to the song, I was spending so much time trying to figure out what was going on in this music video. I don't know if I quite figured that out, but I like the style of the music video, how, you know, there's that background and they kind of layered what seemed like Like they layered the members' performance, but it's not just a video of them, but more like someone had hand drawn them. I thought this music video, the shot of this music video was really interesting.
Yep, it's a very like 90s grunge style, which I also like since I'm a 80s 90s kid. And the art style is really good. So it's the drawing style. So for those of you who like, you know, like grunge style, you know, this is for you.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's it for this episode. For our next episode, Shanna is bringing you an exclusive special episode with a knowledgeable Japanese music cultural writer, Jillian Marshall. They'll see you in a week from now.
And with that marks the end of our episode. We hope you enjoyed the songs this week as much as we did. And we will see you next time. And this was your host, Christine.
And it's me, Kirby.
And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Japan.